What a privilege and an honor to address you this morning and to have the opportunity to share God's Word and to partner with our senior pastor, Pastor Mike, in what he's been teaching on through the book of Ephesians, to give us an opportunity to see what it looks like to be a loving community of God. Now, love is an active part of even what our own mission statement shares, that we know, grow, and show the love of Christ. And so without love and without understanding that love, we can't possibly follow through in that mission statement. So how did we get here to this point, at this time, in this moment, on earth, this community? How did we come to this place? Well, as Pastor Mike alluded to last week, we spent quite a bit of time just getting a glimpse of what God's love is, about the blessings that He shares with us, about how He's brought us together, about how He's drawn Jew and Gentile together, which was a separation that existed then, and in some cases may even still exist sometimes today. And now we're at a transitional point in the letter that Paul has wrote. And so we've come to this place, and now I have the privilege, somewhat daunting I feel at times, particularly this week, to try and take where Pastor Mike has taken us so far and move into the next level of this letter and leave some room for him to also then continue into this next section. And so you could say I find myself sort of standing like this, with where we've been and where he's going to go. And I'm kind of like shaking a little bit about that because it's a very pivotal place. How did we get here? Well, Paul provides us with a lot of letters to a lot of different churches. And so this is not the only letter that talks about the things I'm going to talk about today. Many of the things I'm going to share in Ephesians, you can also find in Corinthians, both 1st and 2nd Corinthians. In 1st Corinthians, in Galatians, and in various other letters that he writes, he shares very many similar things. And you're going to find, as I speak to you, that there are actually some places where we find lists of talents and of giftings that are given to the church body that you may or may not see also in Ephesians. So this is not the only place you're going to find these things. But as we stay in Ephesians, I want you to remember those things that Pastor Mike shared with you. And as we go through, I'm even going to recall some of those things. Now, why would I do that? Does it sound as if I don't have anything to say and I just want to run on the coattails of Pastor Mike because he's the senior pastor and I'm this young, seasoned, unseasoned, I don't know what I'm doing yet, pastor? Not so much. See, the point of this is this. You don't want to leave every single Sunday and then come next Sunday and wonder, was there any point to last Sunday? But rather to build on what we've learned. And so if I don't recall to you the things that we learned before, then how are you going to ever build on what you've learned before and then go from there? And so as I speak to you and as I share with you, remember some of those things that you may have heard 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And allow that to kind of churn in you and build you up again. So my message is, a loving community of God requires work. Now, a show of hands, how many of you love to work? Oh my God, we got a few. Does it depend on what the work is? Okay. So if I gave you something you didn't like to do and said, how many of you love to do, and I don't have a good example right now, so forgive me, I might not see as many hands. Okay. How many of you love to shovel manure onto a field? Yeah, well, there's a few there that might like to do that. But a lot less hands than I had before. And for those of us that may not be or may not have grown up in this area, which I did not, you may say, well, you probably wouldn't like that because you don't know what that's like day to day, week to week, year to year. Interestingly enough, though, this isn't the only place where you smell manure. This isn't the only place where farming goes on. And so there are places where we've learned that. Point is not all of us really like to do work. Some people do if it's right in their passion. But others of us, it doesn't matter if it's work that you like or not. At the end of the day, there is a sense that you have given of yourself. You know that if you don't have the energy,
to do the work, it's going to be even tougher, particularly as it goes further on, because you're going to run out of steam. So we have to be prepared for that work. Well, today, as we open up Ephesians 4, I'm going to tell you that there are some things in here that are going to require work. And they're not going to be the heavy lifting sort of things. It's going to be stretching you in some ways that might make you uncomfortable, but will require you to work. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And like Pastor Mike had said, this now last verse ends with an amen. And so it's very evident to us that we're going to change into something else. And yet you'll find that as I read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, as you're going to see in verse 1, it still refers back to what we learned in verses 1 through 3. There's still a connection, a word that draws us together or that brings what he said before into what he's going to say now. So let's pray and ask God for wisdom as we read his word. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege to stand before this community. Without you, Lord, I am nothing. I am a resounding gong. I am just noise. And I don't want to be that. Lord, I want your word to go forth and not my word. I want all of us, including myself, to hear from you, Lord. So may all the words that I share be your words, Lord. And anything that I share that's not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Or may it be not heard at all. That only your words may come forth, I pray. And may it bring glory and honor to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. May God bless the reading of his word. This part of God's word, this letter that Paul writes, starts by saying, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Verse 1. As many of you know, I'm in seminary. I'm still learning about what it means to preach the Word of God, to share the Word of God. I've spent several years in laity. I've had opportunities to preach before other people. And it's not that it's something that I feel I've reached a place where I can do it, but it's something that I feel a passion for. It's something that I get excited about to be able to share the Word of God. Now, I also get excited to play the guitar and sing songs. So there is a battling within me of passions of what God wants to really do with me. And so there's times that I'm standing here singing and I'm going, Lord, you're just flooding me with knowledge that I should then share. And maybe I should be writing songs. I don't know. But I don't know how to convey or put it all together on what God wants to do. And so as I'm learning this and I'm looking at this, I can find myself one minute going, oh yeah, and that song, and I'll start singing a song about, because I'm so wrapped up in music. And then another moment I'm like, no, but I remember what Professor So-and-so said when we, and so I'm drawn into all these different things, and it's swirling around me, and even now I feel like there's 1,000 things going through my head on what I should share with you. So if I get a little excited, well, first of all, that's me, so if you didn't catch that already, surprise. Second of all, I'm still growing, just like you. And so I don't want you to take me for something more than you are. Because even you can sit down and look at this word and start beginning to peel it apart and start beginning to decide, what is it that God wants you to hear? That's the whole purpose of why we spent all those weeks in the story. It wasn't so that it would just be a nice thing to do. It was to help you build a biblical study of His word so that you could grow in it. And so if I say things or that doesn't make sense to you or it seems different, then get back in the Word and look at it yourself. See if what I've come up with here is what you too may find. And maybe something in there will enlighten you anew. But don't expect me to do it all for you. Praise God, you can think and read and learn too. And you don't require me only. But in that I'll say this. As I looked through this scripture, I found 3 areas that we can learn from this. And it's not something new. As a matter of fact, you might say, wow, you're like a little cliche here that you would go that route. But believe it or not, it's just too easy to not notice it. Our mission statement says to know and grow and show the love of Christ. And what I'm going to show you here is this entire 16 verses speaks it like it's meant to be there and it was meant to be married with this. The words are in there almost blatantly. It's not in the order we put it, but it's still there. The first section is to show. To live your call focused on unity. And you can't possibly show the love of Christ unless we as a body are unified and together and working as one. Now, what does that really mean? I mean, does it mean that we link arms together and walk the streets of Savannah and that makes us look unified? Look kind of silly. And it would only be an outward sign, but it would be no guarantees that inwardly we're really doing that. Are there things that we can do that we do well? Yes. If there's one thing I know this church does well, it comes together real good in a very difficult situation. And it serves like no church I've seen serve anywhere that I know of. And that's not to say that I've seen a lot of churches, so don't put a whole lot of merit on that as if to say, wow, you are the serving church of all serving churches. Okay? We have much to learn still. But as you look through the first 6 verses, he asks us to live worthy of our call by keeping unity of the Spirit. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. The be completely, I could take that out and say, show everyone humbly and gently, be patient with them, love them, care for them. And that's not just the people outside there. That's all of us in here too, by the way. Because it's very easy for us to look and say, oh, well, we got to be unified so that we can show them. Yes, showing them is important. But if you can't show it in here, then it doesn't matter if you can show it out there. Okay? Now, I just thought of something. Forgive my ADHD. I know the color of my skin is very obvious that I am Caucasian. However, if you feel so led to say an amen, I'm telling you right now that's going to encourage me. Oh, I am not a black gospel preacher, but I like return in what you hear and see. So if you feel so led, amen? Okay. Because for me, that says that we're connecting, that we're interacting, that this isn't me talking and you just listening. We have to be in an interaction mode. I'm a bit of a teacher as well, so that's why I like that. So that unity part, the whole part of the unity is that we, by being patient with one another, by saying, I'm really not able to understand where you're coming from right now, but I'm going to hope that I'm going to get it. or that I don't understand why you act this way, but I'm still going to be patient with you because I trust that God is working on that in you. Being kind and gentle. I mean, these are things that we've talked about before, so it's not new to us. But yet, somehow, it seems that Paul feels he has to share that with the Ephesians, and I doubt that we are always patient, always kind, always gentle. I'm sure that at one point over the night of the camping outing that we had at the Z-Axe, that the student said to me, wow, he's really not being gentle right now. I just wanted to stay up all night. And he wants me to go to sleep. And I'm saying, yes, I want you to sleep because I want to sleep. But in any case, there are times that we struggle with that. And it's okay. You're not perfect. But here Paul is exhorting us. It's interesting. This piece of paper right here is a message that I wrote like 4.5, 5 years ago. And guess what it's on? One, unity in the body of Christ. God's been speaking to me about this stuff, well, a long time. As I look back on this, I notice some things. That humbleness is the lowliness, the position of a servant, recognizing worth in others above yourself. That patience is long-suffering. That bearing one another is the endurance that we need to endure each other. That gentleness is moderation. Strength to be weak. Sounds like a strange thing to say. Strength to be weak. How can we bear one another if we're not willing to bear to one another? I can't bear your burdens unless you're willing to bear them. And so as we learn and grow, we can then help each other to grow in unity. I noticed something else as I looked at this unity part. Ephesians 4:3 reads, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Tell me, have you heard this before? From verse 11 on, Paul is talking about the church as he looks at one last way we shine the light on and glorify God. And this is when we live and serve in unity together in Christ. This is what was said previously in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, 22. It was right from Pastor Mike's message where he shared that we have to be in unity. That the Jews and the Gentiles needed to learn to start growing together. That Paul was sent as a Jew to the Gentiles to draw them to Christ just as Christ was drawing the Jews. If Christ wants the Jews and the Gentiles to be drawn together, and I know no specifics that say that any of you have Jewish descent, then we as years and years past Gentiles, shouldn't we also emulate that unity and that bond of peace amongst ourselves? If Paul was preaching that to the Jews and Gentiles to come together in their own body, if we can't come together as a body, how can we possibly bridge the gap with them? Now, you say, well, I don't know of any problems here in this church. I think we get along just fine. We play cornhole together, dance, in the fall, have a little square dance and, you know, do nice things together and everything. Sure. But some of that unity goes beyond these walls. Some of that means you have to be willing to reach out and say, yeah, I don't see it the same way you do, my Baptist brother. Yeah, I'm not exactly in the same mindset as you, my Methodist sister. Sadly, we've created so many possible ways to divide ourselves, and though each one needs to be reached in their own way, there may be some that find that God really touches their heart when they sing their favorite hymn. And another may say, I really need somebody to be up there dancing back and forth on the halls and on the pews and all that stuff, because I'm not going to get it otherwise unless they're all over the place. And that's where we do have some. But do we push it too far? Do the Methodists know who Christ is? Does the Catholic profess Jesus as Lord? Do we find ourselves so wrapped up in finding ways to divide ourselves and say, well, they're this and I'm that and this is that and this is that, that we miss the very reason that brings us together? The very thing that brings us together, which is what Paul is saying, that we are, but we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father and all. Is the water in the Catholic Church that they baptize with the same water that we have here in a pool? A scientist would say, yep, H2O. I mean, it might have some other stuff in it because, well, that's just the way it is. But for all intents and purposes, it's water. And so we are finding more ways to say different, 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 and less ways to say, what is it we get along with? What is it we see that matches? The point in that is, even I found myself in a place where I'm very easily to say, I don't know, you believe that, and I think that that means that we've got to be different. I mean, I'm no better at it than you are, so don't expect me to be up here, you know, pounding it on your head and saying it's all you and not me. Unity is motivated by that desire to be one in the body that Christ made. And what is that body? Well, that's all the parts coming together as one, having that one body, that one spirit. Now, this part then builds that ability to show that by unified, we can show patience, kindness, humbleness, fruits of the Spirit, if you will, though that's in Galatians, not in Ephesians, but still a part of where Paul was trying to piece things together. And so then where do we go from here? Well, the next place we go is we look and we see that in verse 13, until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, to know the love of Christ. And our second place then is knowing. Each person has received grace to build up Christ's body. And so as we spend time together in here, as we work together in here, as we look at the Word of God, we begin to know His love. Sure, He didn't put it in the same order that we put it, but He started by saying, if we're going to be able to show this, we have to be unified so that when we know God, we can do those. Because we know God, we can do those things. So what does that look like? Well, before I go any further, before I get into that, I want to share something with you that I saw that was pretty amazing. I got this book from our youth trip down to New Orleans. Some of you may be aware of what this book is. Others of you may not. This is the recent Evangelical Convictions print from the EFCA. It's kind of the What Do We Believe book. And I was amazed as I was going through this. I was like, you know, what is it that our church believes? What is it that we are foundational on? And does this match with this? Are we aligned with that? What is it to be a church in one? And so I found some neat areas, in particular where it says, we each come alone to God, but in coming to God, we do not remain alone. We are simultaneously then constituted into the corporate body of believers. Therefore, we affirm that the true church comprises all those united by the Spirit into the body of Christ. And the church is united under the authority of Christ as its head, for whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love in each part, and as each part does its work. Yes, right out of the last verse of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. And so, yes, the true church, our body as one, united, right out of our own evangelical conviction. And so as we move then into knowing, as we look at the next part of this, I want you to see how then it goes from here. He says, but to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Thank God for grace. Because there's no possible way that we could do half the things that we do knowing the difficulties that we face and the struggles that we have and the way in which we're built. It quite often says, patience? I ain't got time for that. Humbleness? I thought this was the nation of me first. I mean, I wasn't here on the 4th of July. But I caught a little bit of how we may have gone beyond that desire of let's join as one and make a nation as one to life, liberty, and I get first. And we may say, well, I don't act like that. Well, you may not, but the next guy next to you is going to. And it's probably going to make you upset at some point in time. And you're going to say, excuse me first. And then you're going, whoa, where did that come from? And start checking yourself. I mean, how many of you really like to be cut in line when you're in the line in Subway to get your sandwich? And if everybody just kept doing it after a while, what would you probably do? Starve? Well, you might. Something tells me most of us after a while would say, hello, y'all see me here? I'm standing here. I'm in line. Certainly not professing to you that God is telling us, let everybody walk all over you. It's great. But our selfishness can get in the way quite often. It's very easy. And so as we look then to the next part, we thank God for grace, that He has given us the grace. That's not to say we use it like it's a ticket. I'm just going to cut in line because I have grace. But on the other hand, we need to be aware of the fact that we're not always going to measure up. We're not always going to meet that humbleness, patience, kindness, goodness. And so then he goes on. He says, this is why it says that when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Well, this is an interesting thing. See, to ascend means that he had to come down. He came down and he lived with us. He dwelled with us. Interestingly enough, Paul shares his own commentary, commentates on his own word. It's almost as if he's like writing a letter and then he says, hold on a minute, I just realized I might have confused you on that. Let me tell you what I mean. And that's what the next verse comes in where he says, what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? Well, that means that he came down and dwelled with us. It means that not only did he dwell with us, but then he died, went to the grave, and then he rose, and then he ascended. Well, you can't ascend unless you have descended. Yes. And so that's how Paul then shares with him. He goes on to say, so he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The interesting thing is this. At that time, when this letter was written, there was no Bible like we see it today. So what does that mean? Well, that means that there were people that were given to share those stories. There were Peters and Jameses and Johns, and they were sharing that knowledge. Today, we have the blessing of having that knowledge that they shared written down to us so we can go over it again and again. And yet, we still need people then to kind of say, what does this mean? And so that's where those people are given. Grace is given. Psalm 68 says that Christ came and then ascended so that he would give the gifts. Remember what he said to the apostles, they became apostles after they were disciples. He said to them, wait for the comforter that will come. And that comforter came for what purpose? To allow them to stir up what they've learned and then share that with others and build up the kingdom of God, to baptize and to make disciples of men and women and give of what God's given to them, those gifts. That's those apostles, those prophets, those evangelists, those pastors and teachers. So then where does that take us from here? Well, if we had show and we already had know, then you know that we've got to find a way to grow. And he starts by saying, then we're no longer to be infants. What do infants do but grow? To our demise sometimes, because there are times when we're just like, I wish they'd just stay little. They're cute. They don't yell at me. They cry because they're miserable, but at times when they've got a diaper to be changed or something to that effect, or they want food, they don't know any better but to just cry and say, hey, I need something here. But many people love that they're small and you can hold them and you can do things with them, but they don't stay that way. Well, thankfully, we don't stay that way either. Would you want to spend the rest of your life having to be held and changed and fed and never to learn anything on your own, never to be able to live on your own? I mean, I know there are probably some people that say, yeah, sounds pretty good to me. I'll do nothing then. That's not the way we were really made. That's the way God intended us. And so, do we do that spiritually too? Praise God, I'm saved, I believe. I'm going to heaven. What else do I have to do? Why learn anything? Why do anything? But see, that's not what God called us to. He didn't call us to just say, this is a get out of hell card. Or this is a free ticket to heaven card. It's so much more than that. That's not rules and regulations. That's growing in the Lord. And so what does he say here? We don't want to be caught up in things because we're young, because we don't know any better. I mean, if you took a young child and put them out into the world today, what would your fears be? A lot. How do they live? Where are they going to live? Where are they going to stay? Do they have a roof over their head? Do they have clothes? Do they have food? And the list goes on. Same with our spiritual growth. We can't be caught up in some of the things that go on in this world. And even then, there were situations where people were trying to twist the gospel. And we have that today. We still run into situations where people don't understand or they purposely want to deceive us, trip us up. And so we have to be continually growing in the Word of God, listening to it, reading it, and growing in it. To grow in it means that we are people that are given as gifts to serve and build up. And the servants build toward maturity, unity, and knowledge of Christ. That maturity comes and grows in faith and in evidence by truth and love. It all comes together as we continue to come together as a body. It's interesting, Deb and I spoke just before service started, and we were doing our time on Beware of Christians with the youth. And today's message was on the church and why we should even come together in the first place. And what the misnomers are of it. Is it the building? Is it cathedrals? Is it nice stained glass? Or is it us? When we say church, it's so easy to say, I'm going to church. Have we lost the meaning of what that word is? We put it into the building and less into us growing in the Lord. So how are we growing? How are we gaining knowledge in God and then showing that to others? I share this with you with the intent of really trying to just lead you from one place to another, because that's the great thing about Paul's letter. Is it's not suddenly where he stopped his thought and then moved into something else. Even in the first part it says, then because of this, now do this. We find too that there are a lot of things that Paul needs to tell the Ephesians as if they don't know. I mean, it seems like he beats a dead horse almost at one point. Unity, 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 unity. And yet, maybe they're still struggling with it. Remember where you came from. Are you still struggling with it? Remember that the church is the people, not the building. Are you still struggling with that? And so my encouraging word for you today is, what are you doing to build unity in your community? What are you doing to build unity in your neighborhood? And I'm not trying to leave you out here with a sense of, well, all Pastor Peter told me was what I'm not doing and what I am. We've done some incredible things. We've had some great opportunities. What is God stretching us to do beyond that? Who might He bring into this church to build us up even further? Are we a full body yet? I think there are things about us that we might still be needing to grow a little bit further. See, some churches are great at reaching out to others. Some churches are great at reaching out to build them up to know Christ. There are some ways that we still need to grow. What do you think? Where are you in your walk with God? Maybe there's something that God has been prompting in your heart to share with this body, and you're holding it back and preventing this body from continuing to grow in unity and show the love of God. Search your heart and ask Him, what would He have you do to mature and grow in faith so that we can know, grow, and show the love of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's yet much more for us to learn. We can't possibly know everything. And Lord, I pray for us as a body that we would continue to grow in You. That we would exercise the unity in the body that says, together in this body, together in this community of Savannah, together in this county of Ashland. And I can go on and on. But the truth of the matter is, Lord, that we find more ways to divide ourselves. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for dividing ourselves along party lines of Democrat and Republican. Lord, heal those. Forgive us for dividing ourselves between denominations. Draw us closer to You. Forgive us from drawing ourselves away from each other because of what we look like in color or in race. Lord, draw us together. Help us, Lord, to live as one and to be willing to do the work it takes to do that so that we may be the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.